Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
This week we have Greg. He came back from India a week or so back. And he's got some awesome testimonies of what God did with them and through them when he was there. So let me just go ahead, Greg, come on up.
Well, good morning. Is everybody doing good? I am too. I'm a little bit nervous, but you know, I'll get right over that in just a minute. As we were sitting there worshiping this morning, God gave me a word to declare and proclaim over the body of Christ, over Best Life Church. Here it is. He gave me that word. It's special ops. and I thought about that. Wait a minute, special ops. Okay, we're not undercover Christians here. But as I started to think about it, he just kind of started opening it up. I just declare and proclaim over Best Life Church this year. This next month, in fact, doors are going to be open to you. Doors that have been shut. Wherever those doors have been shut, they're going to be open this month. If it's in financing, if it's in health, if it's at work, wherever it may be, I declare over you open doors this month. This next year, we're walking into a new season that has been unprecedented. We're walking into a season where God is going to meet, that's going to confirm the desires of your heart that you have been praying for years. You are going to walk into those things. The doors are open to you. The doors have been open. It is yours for the taking. You will walk out into it. You are going to see a new thing happen this next year, this next month. You're going to look at it next month and you're going to think back and how did that come about? But this is the season that God has created for us to be alive, to move in. He is going to open the doors. Everything that you have been wanting to do, you're sitting under, you're in his, you're his special ops right now. It's because we kind of have this tendency of looking at this. We're a small group. No. Where there's one, there's the majority. It's the Christ in you. So you've been given. I declare over you to go out. Because the doors, nothing is closed to you. You have a majority. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the majority. Everywhere you go, the doors are open to minister life, to breathe life, because he's given you the power of life and death in your tongue. The seed is within you, and you go out and you speak it out into the atmosphere. You speak it over your city. You speak it over your community. He's given you the ability to walk into what he's created for you. The doors are open for you in Jesus' name. Amen. So for me, that's really exciting to hear too, because I mean, that's not what, you know, I don't know really how to declare and prophesy over people or anything, but it's just that God put something, God stirred it in me this morning, and I believe that it's stirred in every one of you. He's stirring in every one of you. I can't believe that this is just for me. You know, that this is just for me. It's for everybody. This morning, I read this scripture in Ephesians, and I shared it with Beth over here. And I have to share just the scripture verse again, because I think we overlook the reality of who we are and what Christ is doing in our lives. The scripture is in Ephesians, and it's the very first one. It says, before the foundations of the earth, he knew you. I mean, if you just take that one scripture verse and set on it for a little bit, oh my gosh, He knew you. He knew me. Before the foundations of the earth, before this world was created, before Adam and Eve, before the fall, He knew us. And how did He know us? Then He formed us and He created us in His image after His own likeness. It just gets better and better. The more I think about this, I am mentally assent to so much. I just mentally assent to it. Yeah, I'm a believer. Yeah, I know God. The reality of our life is amazing. He didn't create us with sickness. He didn't create us with deformity. He didn't create us with lack. He didn't create us to be the tail. He didn't create us not to have enough. He is alive in us. The reality that He called us, I was dead. I am a dead man walking. And it's because He breathed, we sang it today, He breathed life into us. The breath in our lungs is His life. I got up this morning, He gave me another opportunity to walk this thing out for Him. Because I'm alive, you're alive because of His breath in you. And I'm sorry, Pastor, this is way off board of this, but it's stirring in me. The reality of who we are, sons and daughters of God. We're not lacking anything. If we walk into something, if we bump up against something that's not of God, He's given us the authority to rule over it, to have dominion over it, and to rise above it. Everything, sickness, disease, money issues, relationships, everything. And I've been finding out for myself how little I live, or I'm not quite sure how to say it, but if I can do without it, I will, I guess. But He has so much more for me, for us, for His body to walk in, to experience. This life that He's put inside of us is alive. It's not a sinner any longer. Now that may be hard for me, for some of you to hear, but you're not a sinner. You're not a sinner saved by grace ever again. You've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. He's put His nature in you. He stripped out the old thing that held us captive to the things of this world. It says that He's redeemed us by His blood, that He's translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and put us into the kingdom of His Son. And my face, I'm trying to get it to smile. I don't mean it to be mad or angry, please. But it's just me right now. We've been made alive by His precious Holy Spirit. He's quickened me alive. He's quickened you alive. So the life you're living right now is Him living through you. And if He can quicken you alive, a dead man, out of the grave, and breathe life into you, my God, He can do anything else in you. He can strip out any sickness. He can cause the doors to open for you. If you want to lay hands on the sick, if you want to see the dead raised, He can do it through you. He's waiting for us to walk it out. We just have to step out into it. He's just so alive and so real. So I say again, I know this just isn't for me, it's for all of you. So just let Him stir in you. Just let Him be who He wants to be inside you. Let Him come alive. The fears we walk in, the intimidation or the unsureness, that's not of Him. That's not of Him. His nature in us is bold. It's strong. It's healthy. There is no sickness in my new man. He is alive. He doesn't walk in sin. He's been redeemed from it all. He's healthy. And so that's why He gives us the comforter. So when we walk into a situation that we want to do something, the fact that the stirring is in your heart to do something is Him prompting you. That's of Him. We always think it's of us. Well, no, I don't know if I want to do that. It's of God. Think about it. when you were not born again, would you have ever thought about doing something like that? No. So now that you're born again, guess what he's always putting in your heart? He's prompting us everywhere we go. He stirs in us because he wants you to experience him. I better be quiet. I'm going to get on with these things. These are going to take long enough as it is, but he's just been stirring in me. And God's honest truth, guys, most of the time, I don't know how to explain them. I mean, not explain them. I don't really even know how to let them out. And when I do, I know he comes, however he comes out, it's okay with me. You know, I get a little nervous standing in front of you, but it goes away. So, you know, even when at work, sharing with people, wherever I'm at, I get started, I'm a little mehawn around. It's okay. It goes away. And, you know, I thought, thank you, God. That's what you wanted to do. These testimonies that we share, that all of you share, these are all about what God is doing. A testimony, in fact, in Psalms, I wrote it down, Psalms 119, 111, David is saying, David recognized it. Your testimonies I have taken as an inheritance forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Listen to them. They're the rejoicing. The testimony of the Lord are the inheritance. They are the rejoicing of my heart. So when you guys share your testimony, you guys get excited. I get excited. It's the rejoicing because I didn't have to do anything. That's the great thing about a testimony. All I had to do is show up. It's him that does it all. The testimony is about our God and what he's doing. And how he just loves to minister to people. It's a beautiful scripture verse. It's just, your testimonies I have taken as my inheritance forever. An inheritance is something that's given to you of value. Something that's for you to use. It makes you profitable. It gives you what you need to do the work that you've been assigned to do. And David says, he even rejoices over it. So as I get ready to share about the trip to India, I'll move on here. To India, I've got some a few slides to show you, and what I'll do is, I'll kind of just show you a little bit of the area of Kashmir, Srinagar, Kashmir, where we were at, and talk a little bit about that, and then share. We'll stop at a couple different ones, and so I'm going to try to cram an awful lot into just a few minutes and give you an overview. So, Sarah, if you want to put those pictures up on the board, the first picture is This is Pastor Sonny and his wife and his daughter. And forgive me, I don't remember the wife and the daughter's name. I had a hard enough time with Pastor Sonny. But he is the pastor of the CNI Church in Srinagar. The CNI Church is the founded church by the British hundreds of years ago. So it's really the only recognized church throughout India is the CNI Church. So when we went to Srinagar, we stayed with Pastor Sonny and his wife in the house that they give them to live on the church lawn. Excuse me. Now, the church in Srinagar is nestled within the military compound. So you have military people all around you. You have to go through the military gates to get in and out of the church. Everybody does. If you go to church on Sunday, you got to go through the gates. You know, you got to get searched. Who'd have thought to put in a church in the military base? You know, in India, where they don't allow you to proselytize, it's a Muslim. In Srinagar, where we're at, it's 90% Muslim. It's not, the other places in India where I'll tell you about, it's mostly Hindu, but up there, it's Muslim. And up there, you hear the five times a day, the loudspeakers blasting all over the Muslim prayers. They sound like people dying or cats fighting, and it's like, oh, God. They wake you up at 4:30 in the morning, you know, it's just, oh, God. But, you know, so you have to really be careful. I shouldn't even say it that. You don't really have to be careful. It's just interesting how God puts his church in the midst of stuff like that. And then we as believers get to walk into the midst of those, kind of darkness areas that we'll see. So this, and they're just fabulous people. Pastor Sonny. Pastor Sonny is so on fire for the Lord. He loves just ministering to people and being able to go out into the community. And that's what we were going to do when we were there. We were going to go out into the community. He had arranged some meetings for us to go to house churches, but we got snowed in there. the first time in the last 3 years, Srinagar got snowed in the Himalaya Mountains. Last time in 3 years, they got 12 feet of snow. We flew into it and got stuck there for 6 days. We could not get out. The only road out had an avalanche on it. 12 soldiers died. The airport was closed for a solid week. It's like, we couldn't even go out on the streets, really, and go out to the people we were supposed to. And it's just like, Lord, what are you doing? But it was an interesting story, because as it unfolded to Dan and me and the others that were with us, we can see this is really, God wanted us just right here with Pastor Sonny. Yeah, so it was neat. We can go on to the next picture, Sarah. Next picture, Sarah. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. they're just some fun pictures. This is Pastor Sonny's father and mother. We got a chance to pray for his father. He has prostate cancer, and so a couple times we got to pray for him and stuff. So they're just really nice people. This is the house where we stayed. The bottom level is the kitchen, the living room, and two bedrooms. And the upstairs is where Pastor Sonny and his wife stay. Okay, go ahead, next one. This is the church, what it looks like on the outside. It was built in the 1800s. There's a lot of it that has been redecorated, but we were over there. Pastor Sonny wanted to show us how they heat the church. And there's this fireplace on the outside of the church over here. You can't see it. It's not a real good picture, but there's a fireplace down there. And they open the door. You build a fire under the church, and it helps heat the floor of the church for the wintertime. So when you go inside, you have some heat, because they don't have heat in these buildings. Okay. This is in Srinagar. This is a Muslim garden. Now, during the summer months and during spring, it's very pretty. It's got lots of flowers, roses, and it's just a garden that the Muslims created in this 1638, I think it said. And this is a place where they have a lot of the young people that try to start problems in India. They come here, and it's a gathering place for them where they kind of come together. So we went over there and did some prayer walking around it. Okay, next one. There's a big wall, and you can't see it real good, but in the picture in the back is the Himalayan Mountains. They're all covered with snow. Okay, go ahead, sir. And there's just us walking around. So there's Dan and Preston. And who's the guy in the middle over there? I was trying out my selfies. Man, it was cold out there, too. Okay, Sarah. This is the center of town of Srinagar. This is a big light tower. And a couple months ago, in August or September, when Dan went up there with a team, they had a 75 days of riots. This was the big place where the riots took place and all the killings and stuff. And so it's pretty during the day, there's a lot of military people around it and stuff. And so we were there. Go ahead, next one. We were there at 10:30 at night, I think, and it is pretty desolate because the military people are out keeping, because things happen so fast over there. But this is another place where we went and prayer walked around that place because they're strongholds. Here's just a little bit of the village. Robert, can you turn these lights off? Can those overhead ones go off? Just to make it a little... There's just... You know, India's so fun. If you've ever had a chance to be in India, traffic, life in India... Go ahead, Sarah. It's just some transportation right there. Just some walking. It's pretty cold. One day we tried to go up to the mountain where they have a big shrine. There's a ski resort up there also. We tried making our way up there because we wanted to go prayer walk around it. But we didn't get all the way up there. So we pulled off the side of the road and found a place. I don't really know what it was. There were some people out there, so we went over there. And we just kind of prayer walked around this area for where we were going. And Shane was playing in the snow. It was quite fun that day. I mean, just enjoying the snow out there. There was a lot of snow. And so they don't really have snow plows or anything out there. So it stays that way until the rain comes or it just melts. Okay, next one, Sarah. Okay, right here I'm going to stop it. This gentleman, can you see him in the back? He has his hand like this. That's Pastor Vinny. Now, there's a story to Pastor Vinny. And I heard it for the first time. He was born and raised in Srinagar. He's probably about 65, 66, somewhere around there. But he comes from a Hindu background. So I think he said when he was about 20, 21, 22, somewhere around there, he became a believer. So Pastor Vinny has been, he has been beaten up. He's been thrown in jail. He's had his hands broken. All kinds of stuff. Pastor Vinny has a testimony. And he goes out sharing the gospels with the Muslims. And you're not allowed to do that. The Muslims don't like it. But he doesn't stop doing that. And I found him. Years ago, it's probably been 7, 8 years ago. Are you familiar with the Voice of the Martyrs? They tell about the stories of the martyrs stuff. Well, he was in there. They did a story on him a while back. They baptized like 7 Muslim people that wanted to get baptized. They came to Christ, and he was part of that. And they had found out about it, and so they dispersed the people, and they came after him, and they put him in jail. But this guy, the whole time we were trapped in Pastor Sonny's house, he would come every day. He would bring people with him that we were supposed to go pray for in the community. He'd bring them into the compound there. We get a chance to meet him, pray for him. You know, Pastor Vinny is a little fireball. He's just alive and on fire for Jesus in the Muslim territory. It's just amazing. And we're going to see a couple pictures, another picture here in just a minute. But so it's like, God, thank you. Thank you for bringing me here. Thank you for allowing me to get locked up here in the snow so I could meet this man and hear his testimonies of what God has done. It's just amazing that this man, you know, and he works with Pastor Sonny very close in the church. Because they can't proselytize, he goes into the homes of the people that are new believers. And then they'll come to church on Sunday or on a Wednesday, and they'll gather inside the church for about an hour or so, and Pastor Sonny will disciple them. Pastor Vinny will disciple them. And so that's really, the way that they do it is really, it's not like how you and I get discipled or read the Bible. Pastor Vinny, what he'll do is he'll give them individual New Testament books. It's either John or something in the epistles, and he'll give it to them to read. And he'll tell them to go home and read it and come back in a week and tell me what the Lord has to say, what he tells you. He doesn't give them teachings per se. He says, you have to read it. He has to come alive inside of you. You have to hear his voice. And they come back and they share with him. And and through that dialogue, he gets a chance to minister, see, okay, if something's not right, he can help and guide him a little bit. But it's really neat to see the way that they minister over there. And it's just very low key. They have to always find a way to do it very, out of the public's eye. So there we are. That's Pastor Preston's from Chicago. You know Dan. And there is Danu, that's Pastor Josh's wife, and then me. We were just on the bridge going over one of the rivers. We were out wandering around that day. Wanted to get some pictures. Okay. And you can see the mountains in the back. You see some boats over here on the side. These are restaurants and people that actually live in them on the river. And they even, some of them are even restaurants. We go in there. Now, I didn't go in there. I wasn't about to go in there. If you see it close up, you're like, I don't want to go in there and eat. The water is dirty and there's stuff floating in the water. And here we're walking out on the streets in Shinagar. Okay, next one, sir. Okay, we'll stop right here. These three are Muslim men. They're born-again believers, probably 6 months old in the Lord. The one on your right, and once again, I don't remember their names. I had a chance to talk to them and wrote the names down, but I don't remember. The one on the right had a dream of Jesus. Jesus came and visited them in a dream. Now, we hear a lot about the Muslim people. They are having visions, God encounters, where he comes and he visits them. And so he and Pastor Vinny, the little persecuted, he's mentoring these guys. So this guy on the right-hand side, and when we met him, we were out at the market, and when we came in, they were in the room. And I mean to tell you, when I came in the room and I looked at them, they were just beaming with light, beaming. I mean, the eyes were bright, the faces were just alive, and so we had a chance. They wanted to talk to us and ask us questions, and we wanted to share or ask them questions. So the brother on right was telling us that when Jesus came to him in a dream one night, he was telling him that, hey, the way you're living, it ain't right. I don't want you serving those false gods, those idols anymore. And he says,
You know, it was just like, he's just very, you know, you're not going to do that anymore. And he tells them he wants them to go get his friends and tell his friends. He woke up. He said, he woke up the next day. The lights came on. He said he was just a new person in his translation. Shema was translating for us. And he had to go tell his friends. He says for a couple months, he would tell his friends, these two guys, and there's another one who wasn't with them today, that I met Jesus. And what we believe in the Quran and the Muslim is not what we're supposed to be believing. Jesus came to me and he's given me the truth, and he's showed me that he got a book of John, New Testament. So anyway, he starts ministering to his three friends. They're born again now too. And if you listen to these guys speak, it's just amazing to hear their testimony. They are so gentle. Gentle is the only word I can think of. They're just gentle. They're kind, and they're just so in love with the Lord. And all three of them are married. All three of them have children. But they're not ready. They even told us that we can't tell our family because what'll happen? They'll lose their family. Any kind of property or anything, it'll get taken away from them because they can't. You can't, if you're Muslim, you can't just change. You can't just, you know, change. Although, I'll tell you what they did do. So they are counting the cost. They said that God will tell us when it's time to share with our family what he's done in our lives. But they all three of them said that we really feel that we have to become strong in the Lord because we know what kind of persecution is going to come. So it was like, wow, these guys are really wise. So what they even did, and they showed us, is they went to the to their court system, which is actually run, that is overseen by the Sharia law in Shinagar. They went to their court system and they got documents that saying, we no longer believe in the Muslim religion. We want to change our religion. And they brought these documents. They were at least this long. You know, it's a letter-sized paper with their full testimony saying, I will not be part of the Muslim religion any longer. I wasn't coerced about the Christian religion in my own thinking and reasoning. I have chose to follow Jesus. I mean, this whole long thing is written out. And they've signed it, and the court system put their notary on it. Now that is, I mean, it doesn't, you know, up here we don't have to do that. We don't have to go get a document saying I choose to believe in Christ. But they're so adamant, or they're so, what was the word? Convinced about the Savior, that they're choosing to step out in a way that most Muslims or most people, I'll just put that, most people don't do. They're saying, look, I'm done with this. I'm severing the tie. And they're going to a court system to document it, to show it. I don't know what kind of repercussions that's going to bring on them. They don't fully know, but, you know, they're in God's hands. They're God's children. You know, as I said earlier, God saw them before the foundation of the earth. He has a plan for those three. And it wasn't to be in bondage to those false gods. And they are getting that understanding. And it's like, I'm done with this. I mean, it's just to hear their testimonies and to hear them talk about the Lord. It just, I was just mostly in tears, just most of the time, just listening to them about how much God loves them. They know that that they're born again, that, you know, that they're, I'm even thinking about it, I can't even wrap my mind around it to get the words out to explain. When you talk to, maybe it's this way, how many of you have talked to a new believer recently? You know how they get? Times three. It's just like, really? It's like, I haven't got anything to complain about. I'm in a snowstorm here in the church being fed three times a day. I don't care. I've got nothing to worry about. I'm going back home to Arizona, and these guys are going to stay there and lay down their lives, and they're going to grow in the Lord. because they know the truth. The truth has set them free. It was just amazing. So now what we're going to do is, in these pictures, we're going to jump to Delhi. So we finally got out of Srinagar after 6 days, and we were only supposed to be there 3 days. We're going to Delhi. So in Delhi, what we were going to be doing in Delhi is there's a leaders conference all week long. Pastor Josh from the church in Delhi, he oversees 30,000 house churches. And so he brings his leaders in a couple times a year to train them and to disciple them. And so this time Five Rivers came, and we got to be part of the teaching and leadership team there. So there was myself, there was Pastor Preston. Preston is from Chicago. He's one of Dan's friends. He actually is a pastor of the church, him and his wife. And they have he works full-time, you know, and does the church thing on the side, too, after work and stuff. And his wife has a radio program where she ministers on the radio. And she's Hispanic. And so they live in a part of the neighborhood in Chicago where it's mostly Spanish people, so they minister in Spanish. And to hear a white guy talk Spanish all the time in India, because we're always messing around, it's just like, something's not right here. But he's on fire for the Lord. And so he got to be part, he was there with us. And so right now, this is one of the sessions. We had close to 140, 150 leaders. All these people in this room are church leaders. They didn't bring their wives. They didn't bring their children or friends. It wasn't open to anybody else. These are all church pastors. So we're doing a time, and there's always plenty of time for prayer during the teaching, after the teaching, all day long. There's always time. So there's Preston praying. Go ahead, next one. Just another one. Okay, go ahead. Now here's Dan speaking at a different time. Wait a minute, stop right there. So we speak almost four times a day. Morning, afternoons, like two sessions, then in the evening. And so Dan, you know, as we're preparing to go, Dan's just kind of telling us, you know, okay, just listen to the Holy Spirit, whatever he puts on your heart. Because I found myself trying to kind of prepare some messages and stuff to bring. And it just didn't work. And I find out that Preston was saying the same thing. It just didn't work for him either. So really the Holy Spirit was giving us stuff. Because we talked a lot about forgiveness, the slave versus sonship mentality, just identity, about the love of God. And they were just eating it up. And what they do is throughout the teaching, they're raising their hands, stopping you, asking questions. Well, what about this? It was so cool because it was very interactive. Pastor Josh right there, he's the overseer of all of them. The way that he teaches these leaders is that he will walk around like a schoolmaster. Are you writing notes? Did you hear that? Write it down, right? He'll do this. And he'll do this the whole time we're there because he tells them, he says, you're apostles. You're all apostles. That's what you were raised to do, is to be apostle, to go out there and to save people and tell them about the Lord. And he equips them. Pastor Josh equips them. He makes sure that they get notes. So all the time that we're speaking, he's going around, he monitors and, you know, asking them questions, writing it down. He talks to them a lot about vision. You know, what's your vision? He shares his vision constantly with his leaders. Because he wants them to catch his vision, and he wants them to cultivate their own vision. And he wants to see them, he makes them write it down. And I saw this a couple times during the night, 11:30 at night. He gets all their books, what they've taken notes all day, and he goes through them and checks them. I mean, I mean to tell you, this guy, I mean, he oversees 30,000 house churches. And he doesn't pay any of them anything. They get nothing from him. Most of them don't even work. They just pastor. I think there's only a handful of them that even have cars. Now, they're not from Delhi. They're from hundreds of miles away. Most of them are 2 days away. And they come to this. Now, Josh, yeah. Right. The young men on the front row, this whole front row, are all his main leaders. The way that he's structured is they're his main leaders, and they oversee 500 churches. All of them. It's not a big deal. They oversee 500 churches. Now, a church consists of anywhere from 10 to 100 people. And most of them have 100 people in their churches, individual churches. So there is a big territory that they cover. It's not just right in town. So he trains these leaders, so every night he would get all their books. He would expect them to do the same thing to their leaders, because the front row has their leaders that oversee hundreds of churches as well. And so he replicates it like that. He puts into them a vision. He tells them what God has given to him for India. They get a vision for themselves. And it's just multiplied like that constantly. And it's just amazing that these young men, there's only, this front row only has a couple of people even close to my age. Most of them, I would say, are Brett's age, maybe Oren's age. Most of them are in their 20s to 30, and maybe 40s. It's just amazing. It's amazing to see that we got to go and minister to them. Life is so different for them than what it is for me. But it's the same Lord. You know, it's the same God. And he loves people everywhere. And all he wants to do is he wants people to come to the knowledge of him. So there's Preston again speaking. Pastor Josh. His daughter Shema is in the back. There's Dan. We're just praying for some people. Go ahead. That's Danu. She's a fireball too. That's Pastor Josh's wife. She was with us in Shinagar, stuck for those 6 days in the snow. We didn't get back until Sunday. The conference, hang on just a second. The pastor's conference started on Monday. Josh is trying to get all this stuff prepared on his own. Danu's not even there without his wife there. And you know, and so it was like, so no, we got off the plane, we got there, she hit the ground running. You know, getting food, sending people to the market to get stuff, to start cooking. I mean, because they fed these people 3 times a day. You know, it's just incredible what went on for the full week that we were there. The teaching, the ministering, the giving of themselves. Pastor Josh is up until late at night, every single night, ministering to go one more, Sarah. Go to the next reading. Well, the electricity goes out all the time. So at nighttime when it goes off, you just keep preaching. Everybody gets your cell phone or something and get a light up there, and you keep on going until it comes back on. So it's kind of funny. Go ahead. Here, if you'll notice all, see the scarves on this, on the one guy's head? Everybody has a scarf around. Well, it was cold there, and, you know, what Josh does is he knows they don't have much, so he tries to give them as much as he can. He brought razor blades, books, and pencils, and paper to write with this time. He brought socks. He bought these scarves because they come wanting to know more about Christ, but they come with literally the clothes on their back. So he's handing out at different meetings. He gives them scarves, gives them socks, gives them razor blades. I'm watching this man do this, and I'm thinking, you could just see the love of this man has for these people. He's a dad. The way that he points out, listen to this, write this down, tell me your vision, what are you going to do? That's a dad. He's a father to 150, if not more, people that he just wants to share the gospel with. And he provides them food, you know, and what little in the clothing that he can give them. You know, it's just amazing what Pastor Josh is doing over there through the church and through these young men. Right here, we're having a time. They're interacting with each other in small groups. They were discussing something that was spoken about. Okay, sir. Just a picture of me and some of the guys. They love to take pictures with the white guys. Even when you're out in the streets or something, it's like, can I take a picture of you? You know, and you just want to take a picture. Okay, I guess so. But it's something. There's another one. They're all pastors. The girl's a pastor. She has over 300 house churches. She has over 100 churches over here. She's a teacher, actually. She does teaching, too, in the school system. And they're just, yeah, they're all leaders. They're all pastors. Next one, Sarah. Okay. And just, just traffic in India. Now, that gloominess, you know how in your telephones you get on the weather, it says cloudy or you know, rain is coming down. It kind of tells you what the forecast gives you. At least my phone does. It'll look, it says cloudy today or something. Over there, it gives you the temperature and says smoky. It's smoky, and it is. I mean, everywhere you go, it's the smell of smoke because they burn everything. Because they, you know, it's burned for your fireplace. It's burned for the garbage, you know, and so it's always smoky and it stinks. And there's traffic everywhere. Go ahead, Sarah. Next one. Just another piece of transportation you get to drive in, you get around. And this is the last one, I think, but if I saw it and I didn't, I had to do a double take, but the little blue boxes in the back on the, that's Domino's Pizza. I've never seen Domino's Pizza in India. So they deliver on those motorcycles up there. But it was just funny. Is there another one, Sarah, or is that the last one? That's it? Okay. So those are all the pictures. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of the feel for India. And a couple of the main stories that really stood out with me is the Muslim men in Srinagar and the week in Delhi. The way that I got to be part of what God is doing over there. You know, Pastor Josh, he was sharing his vision to his leaders. He says this year, the Lord's already given him 10,000 more churches. That's his vision for 10,000 more churches. He says, that's just the vision I got. And Pastor Josh has been doing this long enough. He says, if the Lord says it, he knows it's going to happen. So he doesn't ask for money. He doesn't ask for anything. God provides it all through power of prayer, through prayer. God constantly. If you listen to this man, he shares these testimonies that are just incredible, that all the things that God has done through prayer. It's just, so he's got a vision for 10,000 more churches. He wants to be able to provide something like 1,500 motorcycles so he can give some of his pastors, some of the bigger ones, something to take the gospel out on. You know, and so that's his vision for this year. I was so blessed to be part of it. It was like when I went over there, I was wondering, Lord, what do I have to give to pastors that live like this, that share the gospel that I haven't, and please hear me. I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty or anything about what we don't do. Or, you know, I'm not trying to do that by showing you. But it's easy. You can't help but come away from there and recognize how much we have and how little they have. But, you know, it doesn't seem to faze them. They're on fire for God. And they go out against all odds. I want to leave you. There's a lot of stories. I'm going to do two stories and that'll be it. Remember at the beginning of this year, I think it was, when I was sharing the testimony about what Connie and I do at home every year, how she started the jar with the gratefulness and the added, you know, and what we're doing here. Well, I shared it that day here, as Connie and I were going home, we were talking about it, and all of a sudden it was like the Lord prompted me, he said, I want you to share that in India too. And I thought, well, okay. Doesn't seem to fit. So from that time until the time I got there, you know, I even told Dan. I said, Dan, I think I'm supposed to share that. He's, if God put it on your heart, then do it. You know? And so all the time that beforehand, I'm thinking, okay, I'm just trying to mentally cycle it through my head. How do I want to share it and stuff? And so when I got there, actually on Monday morning, I got to share that story. You know, and I was sharing about it and how Connie and I write down things throughout the year, and at the end of the year, how this past year we took them out and we started reviewing them and seeing how God has blessed us and what he has done. And it was like it just impressed upon us, you know, how amazing and alive our God is. And so I was sharing it with them, and really, I thought it went over like a load of rocks. I'm thinking, wow, I guess they didn't really want to hear that. A couple days later at the dinner table with Shema, we were in the house, it was afternoon mealtime, and Shema says, Greg, I got to tell you this story. And she says, my friend, Sasha, she lives in another state, goes to school someplace else. She came home to Delhi to visit her parents for this weekend. I guess she had some time off. She called me on the phone, and as they were talking, she says, Shema, you know, God's just been doing some amazing things in my life. At school, the way she got into school, she's like studying for, I forget what she told me, some amazing thing. But she said, you know what, Shema? This is Shema relaying the story to me. Shema says, Greg, she says, we should start writing down the things that God does in our lives and putting them in a container and holding on to them. And then at some time later on in the year, read back through them. She wasn't even in the meeting. And I thought it fell over like a load of rocks. I'm thinking, oh God, I am so sorry. You know, here, I'm thinking, it's probably not what they need. But he's touched someone else's life that wasn't even at the meeting. How he did it, I don't know. Shema wasn't even in contact with the person. She calls her out of the blue and says, this is what God's put on her heart. It's just amazing how God does those kind of things. That twisted me up. God, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it through me, just do it. I'm done trying to figure this stuff out. You know, I just want to be obedient. Just walk it out. Just let him show up. Just let him have his way. As we're getting ready to go, I'm going to share this. There's another quick one. Dan and I are traveling back by ourselves, and Dan's very open. He loves to engage people everywhere he goes. You get in the taxi cabs because you drive taxis everywhere. He loves to talk to people, and if we have an interpreter, it gives us a chance also to share Jesus with them. So, you know, as we get into the airport, we wanted to go find some food, and they had a McDonald's there, and we thought we'd go get a burger, but all they had was chicken, so we got chicken sandwiches. You know, we were craving burgers. So, you know, and they had like a food court up in the upstairs part of the airport, and it's kind of full. It's not really that busy, but once we got our food, we went and sat down at a table of four, a four-top table, and it was just Dan and I sitting at the table. And there's plenty of other chairs in the place. And we were there probably 10 minutes, just eating our sandwich. And two sheiks. And the sheiks are the ones with the big turbans. They're colorful, usually. And they actually believe in one God. Their religion, it's crazy, it's loony, but they believe it's one God, whereas the Hindus got 3 million gods. But these two guys come and sit down at the same table with us. You know, and Dan and I are just kind of looking at each other. Okay, we kind of know what this is. This is an opportunity. You know, so they're eating, and you can hear they're talking in a different language. And I was just kind of back and forth looking at them. I'm thinking, okay, God, what do you want to say? You got something? And all of a sudden, they had a bracelet, a gold bracelet on. It caught my attention. And okay, I'll go with it. I said, man, that's really a nice bracelet you got there. What is it? Does it represent anything? And then, and I didn't know if they spoke English or not because they were speaking in a different language. I don't even know what it was. But they came back. They're actually Australian. Here they got these things on, beards, talking in whatever language it is, and they got this Australian accent. They're going back to Melbourne. I mean, you think, wow, this is just, your mind just, so anyway, he starts talking English to me in this Australian accent, and I'm really having to listen, you know, and then he starts trying to tell me about his God. I said, perfect, Lord, perfect, you know, so we get to share about our God. You know, he lives inside of us. Yes, the Holy Spirit's alive in me right now. Oh, yeah, but you must know the God that, you know, that makes the mountains and you become one with him in the mountains and stuff. Yeah, we are. We're one with him, you know. He lives right inside of us right now. And Dan and I are having this conversation with these two guys. And then they offer us some of their pizza. And so we have a bite of pizza with them, their own pizza. So we're sharing the gospel with these two Australian guys, sheiks. So before we get ready to go, you know, very nice conversation. We told them, you know, what a pleasant surprise it was to meet them and talk to them. And we asked if we could pray for them. And they said, no, we're okay, you know. But it was just like, God, that's just too amazing. You bring them right to our table. There's plenty of other tables up there in the food court. You want to come sit by two white men. You know, two white men full of the Holy Ghost. That's what they see as him, you know. But, you know, they come over there, and so we get a chance to share the gospel while they're trying to share their God with us. But you know what? I've already gotten it. Even if I'm not there to try to win a soul, to put another notch on my pistol handle, I'm the light of the world. The reality is, I'm the light. Wherever I go, I'm the light. There's darkness out there in the world. And when I show up, I'm the light. And if I don't talk about Jesus, I'm still the light. I bring light. In fact, I bring conviction. Not in a bad way, but all of a sudden, there's something starts stirring in them. It's the Holy Ghost speaking to them that something isn't quite right. And it's just amazing how God does that. And so there again, it's the reality. I'm learning, of figuring out what the reality of who is alive in me, and I don't have to do anything. I just show up. So Dan and I get on our plane, we take off, and I promise I'm closing with this last one. We fly 18 hours nonstop from Dubai to Seattle, and we got in Seattle, it was like 7 o'clock in the morning, and Dan and I want to have a cup of coffee, so we go find a cup of coffee over at Starbucks, and we go in Seattle Airport. They had that big window, big open window where you can look outside, and they got the rocking chairs. Me and him go sit down in a rocking chair. Plenty of other chairs all open, all lined. Dan and I just sit down over here in this rocking chair. We weren't there but a couple minutes, and some guy comes sits over here next to us. Dan and I look at each other. Game on. We get to share. So I introduce myself. Dan introduces himself. He's an Indian guy. He works in San Francisco. He lives in Delhi. We just came from there. It's like, God, you are too funny. So we get to share with him what we've been doing. And he's in amazement. Well, how do you do that? You're not allowed to do that. Yeah, God just opens doors up to us. We start sharing these stories with him. And so he's just listening, you know, and just friendly guy. And before we leave, we ask him if he wants prayer. He lets us pray for him. We get to share with him, get to pray with him. And it's just amazing. God brings them to us. I'm so worried about, okay, that guy over there looks like he's got something on. Maybe I can approach him, figure out how to approach him and pray for him. I just sit down. We just sit down. And he brings people to us. And the door's just open. So I had a blessed time. It was really fun. And I want to thank you all for making it possible by your giving, by your praying, because you actually all came with us. You were there because you support us, you uphold us in your prayers. And believe me, that's the one thing I have learned over the years is that without prayer, none of those doors open. None of them open. But God opens it all through prayer. So thank you for allowing me to share with you today. I think that's it. Oh, wait a minute. I did forget one thing. Can I just do one more thing?
Yeah.
I did. I brought this book up for a reason. I had to share this with you. You know how Pastor's been talking about the attack lamp? So in here, I just, as I was reading it, it said, where is it at? And are reading it, that's right. Oh, it says, it was talking about the gates of hell in Matthew 16:18. It says, where Jesus is talking to Peter, it says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter is telling Jesus who he is. And then Jesus saying, after praising Simon and changing his name, Jesus said, upon this rock of revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that scripture verse, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Mark was saying in here that all we have to do, the gates of hell, it's the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When it says it, it's talking about the Christ, the kingdom of God. Those gates where lost people, the world is trapped behind, those gates are not going to prevail against this gospel. This gospel is going to bust open those gates, as I've seen in India countless times. where people in bondage are set free from hundreds of generations of idol worship. They're set free because the gospel, those gates can't stand against the gospel. They are built, gates are reinforced, locked and guarded to prevent successful entry. They are built to withstand attacks. They do not initiate it. That's our job. The gates don't initiate anything. The gates keep people locked up. It's our job to initiate. And that's what I found so incredible, God. We get to initiate with Christ in us. We go and beat those doors open. Those doors, it's not even right to say beat those doors open. Those doors open to us. They open to us. That's our job to initiate it. We are to be taking the fight to the enemy's territory in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we get to do. And I thought, you know, that's so cool because that's what I seen this time in India. How just the Holy Spirit, we go over there, we show up, and the Holy Spirit does it all. You know, the doors open, people get saved, people get healed, people get restored. It's just amazing. All we have to do is show up. We initiate it, we step out. God does what he wants to do. And that's to set people free.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. How many? Hey, that's good. That's the best use of 10 minutes I've ever seen. How many have read chapter 1 all the way through in Attack Lamps? Put your hand up real high. How many don't have the book? The other one? Sure. So, does everybody have one? Everybody has one? Do you guys have two? One for each of you? Because I know, you know, with her and I, she hates it when I mark stuff up. She wants her own book to mark up. So that's what we do that. So, okay. Well, hopefully by the time you're done with February, you'll be done with the first chapter. Because you all are doing what your pastor asked, right?
Yep.
Here's what we're going to do next month. Next month, you're going to take some of the things you've learned. I'll tell you what I did. I just basically got my phone out, the recording. You know, you can just speak into your phone and it records it. Under the notes tab of my phone, I just spoke and just read text that stood out to me on the phone. And then, later on, I went in there and, you know, edited a little bit, you know. But that's how I harvested what I wanted to get out of chapter 1. It's on my phone under notes for chapter 1. I'll do the same thing with chapter 2. It's because I'm not very good at, you know, the texting thing. You know, but that's, it's too slow. So I just do that, you know. So I just read, you know, if I read a segment in the book and it stands out to me, I just will read that into my phone and it'll just type it all out. Real easy. Piece of cake. So that's how I've gotten the life challenge point in chapter 1 for me. I read it into my phone. Some things that stood out to me in the chapter, I read them into my phone. So it's not a hard thing. And here's what we need to understand. Mark chapter 4 verse 26 says this. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God." I know it's Jesus because it's all in red. He said, "The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil, and he goes to bed at night, and he gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How, he himself does not know. The soil produces crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." And this is a principle of how the kingdom functions, and it doesn't matter on what level. It doesn't matter whether it's you as an individual. You may feel like, you know, and I really hope that you guys, you spend time in the Word of God, since Father is your DNA, right? So you spend time in the Word of God with Him, and you do that on a daily basis, spend time with him. I mean, you can do it. I'll tell you what I do. I mean, I have, with the Passion Translation, I have every book of the Passion Translation that they've released. I have it on my iPad. And now I have begun to go back and get the audio, the audible version of it, each one of those. And I'll listen to those in my car when I'm driving down the street. When I'm on the elliptical in the morning, I got the iPad open and I'm reading as well as listening to the same book on. So I'm getting it, you know. It used to bug me because I'd run out of time in the morning. I can't do my exercise thing and read. So a lot of times I would skip the exercise, which I need to do that too, you know. So I figured out how to do both. You know, when you're getting ready in the morning, brushing your teeth, my wife, she's got her phone going. She's listening to MP3s. How many are listening to the Todd White MP3? Hopefully. How many listen to the same one more than once, like your pastor asked? Raise your hand up high. Yeah. Please, if you haven't got that far yet, don't leave until you let our master technicians back there figure out how to do it for you, so we can at least move forward, you know, going on in the next months. But all of those things, whether it's listening to those MP3s repeatedly, I have listened to the same Todd White MP3 probably 100 times. Because the reason you're doing that is because of this principle. You don't realize, it may seem like this is awful repetitive, but what you don't realize is the fact that every time you submit yourself to it and you put it in again and again and again, you're submitting to this principle. The kingdom of God is like seed that gets sown. You go through your day, you go to sleep, you get up the next morning, you do it all over again, and you don't realize that those seeds are being planted, watered, and they come up. That's a principle of how the kingdom functions. It's not about your mind. It's not about your emotions. It's not about, well, I've heard this, I know this. It's not about that at all. It's about the fact that the kingdom functions on the principle of you plant the seeds, you water the seeds come up, you don't even realize it's happening. What's true on a corporate level when you're talking to individuals planting seeds and God brings the increase is exactly the same principle that Jesus is telling you. The kingdom just functions on this principle, period. Whether it's you individually listening to the same MP3 100 times in 1 month or reading the same chapter 100 times in 1 month, it's irrelevant how many times you've read it. What matters is you're submitting to this principle and you're allowing the kingdom to reproduce in you that which you don't even realize it's doing. How many know you'll never come to the place in your life that you listen to the same thing that's from the kingdom of God that it won't produce something new every time you hear it? Because of this principle. It'll deposit something in you over and over and over and over and over and over again. And you'll never come to a point where, I don't care if your natural mind has said, well, I've heard this 100 times, listen to it 101. Because 101 time, there's something else the Spirit of God is going to deposit in you that you may be completely unaware of by submitting to that and listening to it again, by reading it again, by going through it again. We of all people, kingdom people, we should not be ignorant of how the kingdom works. Next week I'm going to get into some things that Peter brings out that are really amazing. They're all in your Bibles. What I want to challenge you all to do is if you haven't developed a lifestyle of spending time with Jesus in His Word every single day, then let's drop the excuses and realize you're not a natural person anymore. It's time to feed on what you are. Because this principle will go to work for you. Because after all, next year will come. Right? And you have a choice, like right now. Are you going to be the same person next year that you are today, or are you going to change? You're going to allow this principle to completely alter your life. I had some other things, but I think this is enough. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. He goes to bed at night and he gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How he himself does not know. The soil produced crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. I'll close with this. I had the opportunity this last week to speak to someone that was basically a captive audience. And I began to pull things out and give to them what God has given to me as I've spent time in His Word. See, some of the biggest challenge for us in the Western world, because we're so mental, is that immediately we say, well, I don't know what to say to people. But you have to realize that that's simply a mere product of you don't spend time with Him. Because He'll give you, from the revelation that the Spirit of God shows you in His Word, the more you spend time with Him, the more He gives you things to pull out of that treasure in the moment to share with people. I began to share with this individual about the fact that I said, because they were talking about doing things and doing good works and things, and I said, what would happen if all of the bad things you ever did were a non-issue? I said, but all the good things you ever did were a non-issue too. You know what their response was? I don't know how to relate to him. Or how do I relate to him? I said, that is the question he wants you to ask. And then I answered the question. I said, did you realize that when Jesus went to the cross, paid the lien against the entire human race, was raised from the dead, that he raised you up? And the New Testament says that when he raised Jesus up, he raised you up and seated you right next to him. Did you know that that was the first time that person had ever heard that in their entire life? How come? Is it not in our Bibles? You know where that came from? It came from me spending time with my Jesus and Him showing me things. See, He expects for us to spend time with Him, for Him to show things to you about the kingdom of God. And then the Holy Spirit will bring those things to your remembrance. And He'll give you the things to say in that moment. We can't afford to be mentally retarded. We have to learn how to develop to be spirit aware and spend time with the DNA of the one we come from. No excuses. Let's just spend time with Him. Let Him show us things. Let him show you things. And then you'll be amazed at how He pulls those things out when you're talking to people, and he'll share those things. Amen? Amen. Well, let's stand up. Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you're teaching us and training us how to not lean to our own understanding. I pray for the day that we'll be more comfortable not leaning to our own understanding than we are leaning to our own understanding. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're bringing us to that place or standing in your presence on a spontaneous basis and knowing that you're going to give us what we need in the moment is our expectation. We've set, as Peter said, we've set our hope on the grace that is to be revealed. And I thank you that in each of the lives in this room that you are bringing us to a place, because we just don't want it any other way. We're just not going to make excuses anymore. We just don't want to settle for the best that man can do. We want you, and we want you to be real, and we want to experience and interact with your ever-present presence in our lives the way you have it in your heart to interact with us. So, Father, we set aside all of our reasonings. We set aside all of our emotional red wagon baggage. In fact, we just kicked that sucker over the cliff. And we tell you, and we're willing to admit to you that if we don't know how to live this way, we just don't know how. But we thank you that you do. And we tell you right now that we'll submit our lives to you. We're not letting you into our life. We're giving you our life. Teach us how to live and move and have our being in this place. Like Paul, we say, we choose to know nothing. From our own understanding. From our own rationale. But we want to know Christ crucified and Him resurrected. That means you're alive right here and right now. Cause this to be the gospel that we model in this city. That will become known as the people that bring the reality of His presence right here, right now. Because we don't want it any other way. We don't like TV dinners. We like things fresh. And so, Father, I thank you that you have permission to do that in our lives. And everybody in this room said, Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.